Praise the Lord. All right. While he gets ready, give him a chance to catch everybody. He says he's tired. We haven't had to do anything all week. It's been so good to be home. You know, it's another home to us, but we love y'all so much. And I do want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your generosity, for just your kind words of encouragement. You know, we love hearing your favorite songs, what touched you. Never stop sharing that, but don't forget to share it with somebody else. Amen. The greatest thing that we have in this world is our testimony. And if nobody ever hears it, they can't hear the great news. Amen. God is so much bigger than we can even imagine, and just a little small part of our life can make the difference in somebody else. And I love this man. I don't get a chance to tell him that too much on the stage. I do love him, though. Hasn't been good to be in the house of God for over half a week and watch God move. Uh-oh. Trouble's brewing. Oh, yeah, you definitely do. All right. It's not trouble. Little business detail. You never know with these guys. You know, I have people say, how do you do it? How do you deal with all the guys on the road? I grew up with two brothers. I was pinned right in the middle of them. Oh, thank you. You're doing good. Yeah, I was always in the way with them, too. But, no. But remember that I love you too. Now, you moved me here. It's just a blessing and an honor to be able to travel with young men. And when their wives get to travel with us, it's a rare occasion because they work and they've got babies to take care of. And I'm honored and privileged that you allow Jesse and sometimes Tiffany to come along and be a part. You never know how much they mean to other people, too, to see people that love God, serving God on the road, and to raise their family in a God-fearing manner.
Amen.
We are living in a generation today that is being lost, and we've got to stick together. We've got to stick together and love our young people and encourage them, raise them up, show them the standard, and love them through it. Amen. I'm going to turn you loose.
Micah just wanted me to remind everybody about the recording, because I've had a lot of people say that they want to take these last five services with them to share them with other folks and to take them home, and that's fantastic. And I know a lot of you have brought flash drives. If you want to take it with you and don't have anything to take it with, I'm going to leave a copy with Sister Mary, okay? And so y'all can come anytime you want and get it from Sister Mary. Or if you brought your flash drive tonight, right after service, I'm going to be spinning them off here up at the computer, okay? So absolutely, we've got all five services on MP3s, so you can take them with you, and please share them. You know, let that be a witness to folks. That's what we wanted to do. It's the first time we've ever been able to do it, and I'm excited about everybody who wants one. So don't forget to come up, and I'll get you burn off at the end of service, okay? All right, amen.
We really are truly blessed. We really are truly happy to be here with you tonight. We're honored that you chose to come out and spend Wednesday night with us. We've had great crowds all week, and if you've been here all week, hasn't it been good? Truly want to say from the bottom of my heart, it's easier for me to get up here and preach the gospel or to clown around and tell stories or whatever it is that I'm doing that night, but and I'm not good with the business side of things, and so God's given me Matthew and Vicky to take care of that. And we had our first ever DHM board meeting this week. That was exciting. Actually got Jesse wound up about something finally. And I could tell he was wound up because I thought the board meeting ended at 10 and Jesse thought it ended at midnight. And so that was a lot of fun. Why are you picking on poor Jesse? Mostly because Very rarely do I get an opportunity to, and I figure there's no better place to pick on him than in his own church. You all feel my pain. I do want to say, as often as you can, pray for Tiffany. That's my daily reminder for y'all. Pray for Tiffany. Luke chapter 13. I have a word for you tonight. It took a lot of praying to get a word for tonight, because all the things that God's done this week are amazing. And each one has been unique. Sunday morning was a live wire service, man, and I could tell it was a live wire service because you all came in ready to worship Sunday night. And you worshiped so good and so hard that I didn't even get to preach Sunday night. God took over and did some very real things. And for those of you that were here, wasn't it good to feel that kind of power and presence of God in the service once again? And then he showed up Monday night with just a sweet anointing. And last night, it was just beautiful. And how many of y'all feel better now than you did when you started out Sunday? Then, if just one person feels more uplifted, our job and our labor has not been in vain. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 reads as follows. And also he spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. He found no fruit on this tree. I don't know if it was an apple tree, a pear tree, an orange tree, an olive tree, a grape tree. Well, that'd be a grapevine, but still, I don't know what kind of fruit he was looking for. It could have been a persimmon tree. Who knows? Could have been a pawpaw tree. Y'all ever had a pawpaw? Well, I ain't either. But could have been a mango tree. Who knows what kind of tree it was? It was just a tree, and it was supposed to bear fruit, and it didn't have any on it. Then he said, might be a fig tree. It says it's a fig tree. All this from the man that never pays attention to anything. Had a fig tree. You're right, Jesse. You get a gold star. Remind me, I'll get you a gold star. But he found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree. Uh-oh, it says it again. And found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? The King James Version says, why let it cumbereth the ground any longer? I like that word cumber. Sounds like cucumber, and I like cucumbers. It means to tax and toil without benefit. The word cumber means to tax and toil without benefit. Why does it cumber the ground any longer? But he answered and he said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and dung it. Now, the New King James says fertilize. It's all the same thing. It's just a very organic, right, Matthew? Organic way to take care of fertilizing a tree. Why did you say right, Matthew? Matthew is a soil scientist, and he'll tell you what organic matter really is if you really want to know. And if it bears fruit, well. And if it bears fruit, well. In other words, if he bears fruit, then that's great. But if it doesn't, after that, you can cut it down. Can we bow our heads? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this fig tree that's brought us joy tonight. Your word's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I ask that you anoint me to preach a word simple, straight, and true, and anoint your congregation to hear it, to put it in action in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. I begin to think about what I'd like to see from this revival, long about Wednesday night or Sunday night, whatever night we close a revival. And I begin to think, if it's truly of God, it should bear some kind of fruit next year. So many times we go into churches and And last year, the church was in kind of a rough place. We had lost some key members, and it was a hard set of services. But people came in worn out, broken down, tired, and just abused within their own body, beat up by the devil. But they left refreshed, restored, and renewed. And this year was the first year in a long time I can remember walking in on Sunday morning and not having to pull for people to worship, not having to pull for, and that's an accolade, that's an acknowledgement to the leadership that's in this place. Because I believe God has his man in this pulpit every Sunday. And that's Pastor Ron Bohol. Aren't you appreciating the man of God for this house? Then I go on and I read past it. I'm trying to be dignified and stay behind the pulpit. It ain't going to last, brother. And then I go on and read passages like Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Some of you have been spiritually sowing this week. And don't it feel good? How many of y'all have had real rest this week that you haven't known in a while? Come on, let me see those hands. If you've really had rest like you haven't known it, that's the power and presence of God at work in your life. And it doesn't need to be refined to revival. Buy some DHM CDs. That was a commercial, wasn't it? Get yourself some good worship music and keep that around you. Why? Because when you hear it, you enter in and your spirit gets lifted up. And when you get lifted up, you're drawn back to the Master. And he can reshape you and reform you. There's nothing like worshiping at the feet of Jesus. Mary and Martha were invited Jesus into their home. And Mary, she sat at his feet, which just simply said she learned from him. And as she was sitting at his feet, Martha was busy just cooking and cleaning and making sure everything was ready to go. There was nothing wrong with what Martha was doing, but what Mary was doing was critical. She was feeding her own spirit. And if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap of the Spirit. But you got to be careful what you sow to your spirit. All kinds of voices out there buying for your time. "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 reads like this. I'm going to read it one more time. "And let us not be wearying in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." That's really good. Why is it that the church wants to fight the other members of the church? I have seen fist fights in the sanctuary. Why? Someone just woke up on the wrong side of the bed and was tired of how Sister Bucketmouth had been looking at him all week long. Whammo! Man, I just about refereed it. Why? Because if people are looking to find fault, it don't take much looking. It really don't. Why is it that the people in the house of God are looking to find fault with one another? That's absolutely against the Word of God. If we want to be children of Satan, we probably shouldn't be standing in this sanctuary looking like we're something that we're not, because our fruit is rotten. God's been coming looking for figs, and he's been finding olives or grapes or something. There's funky fruit on that tree. Some of us got some real funky fruit. What are you talking about, Brother Mike? Watch this. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. Did you know how many seasons are there to a year? Well, in Iowa, we've got five. We've got almost spring, spring, almost summer. What do you mean almost summer? Yeah, I'm talking about that half a week where you get like 90 degree weather and it goes right back to 42. Summer, almost fall. Then you get those 2 weeks of below zero way before we ever get to winter. Why did God do that to us? I enjoy it, but we have four seasons in our lives. Spring, summer, winter, and fall. Spring's about upon us. And I saw the picture of the tulips. I was loving the tulips because tulips are, they're crazy flowers, man. They like to be planted in the fall. They like to be dug in the summer. How many of y'all know that tulips will actually repopulate for a lifetime if you just dig them in the summer? Did you know that? Not to mention, you can eat them. You can eat tulip bulbs. You can saute them and eat them. I don't want to eat tulip bulbs. I think they'll be a little too floral for me. But you can't eat them. In fact, most of the flowers that we grow, a lot of them we can't eat. So right away, if we'll dig those tulips, man, they'll multiply. And the next thing we know, we've got rows and rows of tulips. Why? Because we took the time to invest back into a bulb that's already done its thing. How many of y'all like, they're called surprise lilies. Some people call them naked ladies. You get all this beautiful foliage and then it dies. And nothing. And then all of a sudden you walk around the corner and there's a flower. No foliage. My pastor went running through the church to a little old lady named Sister Mary. Sister Mary sweeps and mops the church and he said, "Mary, there's naked ladies on the front lawn. Grab something. Come quick." He went running out, and he was standing there looking at something. She come up with a broom. "Where are they at? They should have better sense than..." He said, "See the naked ladies? Ha!" And she went back in the church and continued cleaning. I love flowers. Flowers are kind of my thing. You want to talk about flowers? We'll talk about flowers. One of the great things after tulips, then comes all of those beautiful irises. How many of y'all like irises? Now, my pastor's wife loves Asiatic lilies. They're also known as Easter lilies. And if you ever have an Easter lily, plant it. It'll come back yellow. It's an Asiatic lily. It will come back. Most of them. Some of them are tropical and they're different. But most Easter lilies will come back. So when I moved into the parsonage in Iowa City, we had all these wonderful, ugly, hideous yellow lilies that were that tall. And I said, "There's got to be better Asiatics." And oh, man, I can show you picture after picture of pink, white, orange, yellow, yellow and black. I figure since we live in Iowa City, we need to have some black and gold. I got black and gold lilies. I got lilies that are that tall, but I got lilies that are 8 feet tall and 17 inches in diameter. And they're fragrant. You step out the front door, the side door, the back door, and you can smell those dudes in bloom. I won't get that until June, but I'm looking forward to the lily blooming. You see, spring is the time when things begin to grow and show new life. "For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." All things are become spring. Spring. That's the newness of life growing within you. That's God's ability to take what looked decrepit and old and dead and make it new, live, and exciting. And then we get summer. And I run around in my shorts in summer. As Jesse says, "Brother Mike, in that one pair of hideous shorts." How many of y'all were here last year when he said that? I've forgiven him, sort of. But I get to work outside. I get to do all kinds of things outside. Summer's a blessed time because I'll lose 10 pounds. 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 30 pounds, whatever I'm working on. I get to fix people's cars. I get to fix whatever's going wrong on the church. Why? Because I can have the doors and the windows open and it doesn't matter. Summer's a time where it's just easy to live. How many of y'all ever been through a summertime in your own lives? It was easy. It was easy to live. You were, man, everything was beautiful around you. You didn't have to worry about a thing. It was perfect. But guess what came right behind summer? Autumn. Fall. Fall's beautiful in its own right, in that everything around you goes dormant again. Leaves turn orange and yellow and purple, and they fall off the trees, and they fall to the ground. And what they actually do, Brother Dave, is they fertilize everything else that's around. All of that death becomes natural fertilization for everything that's around it, and it gives substance to where nothingness will soon be, because winter's coming. And I don't know who you are tonight in this place or where you're at in your walk with God or what season you're in, but I'm here to tell you, if you've been through spring and you've been in summer and you've been in fall, winter is coming. And it's amazing, Pastor Evan, that in my life I can watch that three-month cycle, four times a year, roll over and over in my spirit. Sometimes it takes less than a year. Sometimes it takes more than a year. But it always happens, and it happens in order. That's weird. How could God build into my life something He built into the world around me to show me what was coming? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever given serious consideration to winter? And the fact that it's coming? You know, all those big, strong trees that look so strong and so mighty and unshakable look forward to winter. Because though they look like nothing's happened, in winter they're sending their roots deeper so that they can grow bigger in spring and in summer and in fall. There can't be anything going on the outside when it's root time, my brother, my sister. When it's root time, it seems like everything else around you may be dying. You may be praying and your prayer goes here and falls to the ground. It feels like the heavens are brass above and the earth is brass below. And it's just a hollow ground for your prayers. And you feel like you're accomplishing nothing, but God's saying spring's coming. Spring is send down roots. Spring is coming. Send down roots. Spring is coming. We'll celebrate Easter here in a little bit. During Easter time, I want you to hear the words of Brother Mike. Spring is coming. For if spring wasn't coming, the death and the burial would have never taken effect within our own life, because the resurrection was something new, something beautiful, something unique. And it showed that God alone provides the life that we need. And spring is coming. To each and every one of your lives, there's a season. I wonder if you could take and make identity tonight. Would you identify your life as being in spring? Things seem pretty new and great around you, and this whole serving the Lord thing, it's new. Everything's beautiful. And then sometime you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you have a second spring, because then everything gets newer and more beautiful. That's amazing stuff. But let's just start with just getting saved. That's spring. And for the first, I don't know, little bit in your life, you're on cloud nine, because God's got His angels of protection all around you so that you can send down roots, learn how to grow and be beautiful. Summer's coming. Summer's coming. Where you start walking in this newness of life that we've found in Christ Jesus becomes kind of routine. It becomes a whole lot easier because we know how to flow and how to be saved, and we've learned that. And so that beauty of newness of life, it's easy. It's